Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. Welcome to the Valeura Holding AG Half Year Results 2014 conference call. I am Sarian, the Chorus Call operator. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Rolando Benedict, Chairman of the Board, Mr. Michael Müller, CEO, and Mr. Tobias Knechtle, CFO of Valeura Holding AG. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Yes, gentlemen, girls, hello. Welcome to our telco. I give up now to Michael for the presentation. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon from my side. It's our pleasure to present to you our half-year results. I assume all of you have our presentation that is available online in front of you, and Tobias and myself will talk you through in the next good half an hour, and then we'll leave enough room for questions from your side. On page number 3, executive summary, I shortly summarize our half-year results before I hand over for the details to Tobias. In general, our group results are, after the adjustments for one-off effects, stable compared to half year last year. Specifically, we have a highly satisfying performance in our core business, especially retail Switzerland and Ditch Bretzelkönig achieved a good performance in the first half year of 2014. Retail Germany has, despite the challenges we still face in mainly on the operational and network optimization side, maintained in the first half year a stable profitability, whereas the trade division is significantly affected by the comprehensive transformation process that is still ongoing. From a strategic point of view, the most significant event of the first half year was that we continue our effort to focus on our core business with the small outlet retail at heavily frequented locations and reduced further our dependency on the print media market by divesting successfully our Valeura service division. However, the effects of that divestiture are not accounted for in the first half year because we closed that transaction in July 31st, so after the closing of the books of the first half year. However, we provide you here with the relevant numbers on the book gain of 34 million and a cash inflow of 63 million, which will be accounted for in the second half of 2014. We view this transaction as highly successful on our side. First of all, from a strategic point of view, we delivered in terms of further focusing the business on our retail activity and further reducing the dependency on the print media market in Switzerland and Luxembourg. And in our perception, we also realized a highly satisfactory result in terms of the financials and the valuations we realized in that transaction. On that note, I would like to hand over to Tobias, who will talk you through the details of our financial results.
Thank you, Michael, and good afternoon to you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm on page 5 now and showing as well a bit expanded financial executive summary. Valeura's divisions are actually showing pretty diverging developments in the first half year. While the core business is doing fine, as we heard from Michael, trade is effectively in the middle of a transforming process. If we look at it a bit in more detail, retail is showing a good strategic progress with the new product line and the modernized Swiss kiosks network, which is able to offset the press sales volume effect and also the one-time effect of implementing the retail margin model, a model which has been imposed by the VECO, the Swiss antitrust organization. In Germany, we have a stable profitability compared to the same period last year, despite the need for further development of our convenience concept network and also the related processes to it. Ditch Brezelkönig, we are very much in line with the ambitious plan and profitable growth that we predicted. The network growth in Switzerland is progressing well. We are on track. In Germany, we have a strong growth of our wholesale business, but also the retail network is performing very satisfactory. On trade, as communicated and based on the poor results of the first half year and as well the reduced outlook for the coming years, we took impairment charges to our goodwill and intangible assets, totaling 17 million. Cosmetics as a subdivision is achieving a stable profitability, and the classic subdivision turnaround shows progress, but which varies very much by market, with stabilization now in sight for various individual countries, as we'll talk you through later in the presentation. Moving on to page 6, while the EBIT for the first half of 2014 is at break-even level with 0.5 million Swiss francs, on an operating level, we are pretty stable between the comparing period of last year and this year if we adjust for the one-off factors. First of all, in 2013, the two main factors to take into consideration are, first of all, the divestment of Valora Services, which accounts for roughly 6 million, and then as well the positive one-off we had from EIS 19 last year, pension liabilities, which, if we take both effects into consideration, are reducing the published EBIT last year of 34 million to the 18.6 million that you see on the left-hand side of page 6. This year, we, starting from the 0.5 million reported EBIT, we also have some special effects, most notably the trade impairments, already mentioned, for 17.3 million, a negative effect out of IS 19 for 1.2 million, and then some positives, overall net positive of 1.4 million, which is an aggregate of negatives and positives. Adjusting for all that, we get to 17.7, which is almost on 2013 level, and this in spite of the poor current trading we were facing in the first half of this year from the trade division. Moving on to page 7, you have the key financial metrics for H1, and this one compares to 2013 only from continued operations. We have lower external sales, net revenues of roughly 50 to 60 million, depending on if you look at external sales on net revenue. That is mostly due to trade, where we have, with the adoption of the new distribution model, where we moved to a commission-based model, and the portfolio streamlining. These effects in total were accounted for 400 million, 60 million coming roughly from commission, 10 million from FX, and 30 million from other portfolio effects across the variant countries. So minus 100 million coming from trade, that means that the rest of the business actually has shown an increase of 50 to 60 million, and that in spite, again, of the reduction mentioned on the press side, which is pretty impressive, in my view, and good result. The gross profit has reduced by 2.6 million. That is a reduction of 13 million coming from trade. Retail has an increase of 2 million. And Ditch Brezelkönig increased by almost 9 million compared to last year. As well, the gross profit margin increased by 1.6 percentage point to 37%. The operating costs are higher by 5.8 percentage point due to, first of all, the one-off effect from IAS 19 last year for roughly 9 million, then the impairment that we took this year of 17 million, then higher production cost at Ditch Brezelkönig for roughly 4 million. And if you adjust all that, that means that we have on the rest of the business a reduction of our cost of around 3 million. EBITDA stands at 49.4 million, minus 15%. The EBITDA margin stands at 4%, and EBIT at 0.5 million, as already mentioned. And again, to remind you, EBITDA and EBIT are roughly in line with first half of 2013 if we adjust for the one-off factors, impairment charges, IAS 19, and the others that I mentioned on the previous page. Moving on to page 8, where we continue down the P&L from the EBIT to the net profit. What stacks out here is the reduced interest expense, which are due to the new and optimized financing strategy. And the second point to mention are the net profit from the discontinued operation. Discontinued operations have a result of 6.1 million, but are reduced by disposal cost of 4.7 million, which leads to the 1.5 million, which I mentioned on the left-hand side. All this then leads to the group net result of minus 8.9 million. Moving on to page 9 and the key balance sheet matrix. We have three effects which mainly affect the balance sheet's changes compared to the year end 2013. That is, first and foremost, a reclassification of services from the continued business to the disposal group, the goodwill impairment, and the dividend payment. As a consequence, total assets moved down by 5% to 1.5 billion. Cash and cash equivalents are down 40% to 105 million, driven by the dividend and the reclassification of the services cash to the disposal group. The decrease in goodwill to 460 million is attributable to the trade division, the already mentioned 17 million, but of which a part is a intangible goods, but then also the reclassification of the services goodwill to the disposal group. The slight increase in the net working capital is again due to the reclassification of services. But here I would like to point out that we have actually a very strong improvement of the net working capital by 56 million if we compare it to the first half of last year and not to the year end. And that shows the very positive effect of the systematic efforts to reduce net working capital, especially at the trade division. Net debt increase compared to year-end following the dividend payment, and here again the reclassification of services. That's the two main drivers of that increase. And finally, the shareholders' equity also has been impacted by this reclassification. All in all, we still have a very strong equity cover of almost 33%. From here, I move on to the cash flow on page 10. Free cash flow from continued operations stands at minus 1.7 million, and that is a very strong result also if you compare with last year where we were standing at minus 5.4 million. We have especially a very sound cash flow from the operations with 26.5 million comparing to the 11.5 million last year. And that is driven, first of all, by the reduction in capital employed, especially at trade, but as well then the lower interest expenses due to the new financing strategy. On the offsetting part, we have higher capital expenditure in the first half of this year, and that is mostly due to carryovers from 2013. From here, we now move to have a more detailed look at the divisions, starting at page 11. That page really shows the adjusted performance by division, and it is very clear at one side that the performance achieved by Ditch Brezel König and also Retail Switzerland almost fully offsets the effect in trade, but also the press effects we're having. If we look at the first line, retail, and we start with the 12.9 stated in the first half of 2014, we need to adjust this 12.9 with 4.1 million, which consists of 1 million from IES, a net release of provisions of 2.5 million, the Panini collection stickers effect of 2.6 million. All these effects lead to a reduction from the 12.9 million stated to 8.8 million operating result for the first half of 2014 for retail. That compares to the 9 million of last year, and the main effect compared to the stated of last year is clearly again here the effect of IAS 19, almost at 7 million last year. That means we are 8.8 this year compared to 9 million last year, but that result actually marks the great development we're having in this division. Why great result? That's mainly due to the press effect. We first of all have lower volumes in press of 4.4 million market driven, but on top of that we also have lower press margin totaling 3.5 million. And as mentioned in my introduction, that's a one-time, one-year effect, I should say, driven by the antitrust decision. These 7.8 million has almost fully been compensated by the real operational performance of the division, and within the division, mostly also Switzerland. Moving on to Ditch Brezel König, very little adjustments on the right-hand side and left-hand side, and that concentrates the look at the plus 4.8 million operating improvement from one year to the other. That is almost a 50% increase in EBIT year on year. Trade spends in the first half of this year as minus 24 million, driven by the impairment charges of 17 million, the restructuring cost that occurred in the first half of 3.7 million, and a very minor effect from IAS 19. All this leads to an operating result still in negative territory with minus 2.9 million. And that compares to the 1.5 million operating result of last year. That means that we have a net effect, net negative effect from operation of 4.4 million year on year. Let me now review the various divisions in a bit more detail on the subsequent pages, starting with retail on page 12. XL sales stand at 1,138,000,000. That is driven by nearly all countries, all of them achieving a positive sales growth. Here we clearly see the effect of the kiosk modernization and also the product line adjustments in Germany and Switzerland that we already presented to you at various occurrences. This effect allows to compensate the adverse effect from the lower press volume mentioned before. The gross profit is 2 million higher, and this despite the one-time effect of the press margin already mentioned before, so we stand here at 304 million. Operating costs rose in the first half of 2014 to 291 million, and that is due to the IAS effect, IAS 19 effect in the first half of 2013. We would be slightly better when we adjust for that, so if we look really like for like. EBITDA with all of that stands at 35.6 million. EBIT at 12.9 million, and EBIT would be stable already, as mentioned, if we adjust for the one-off factors, especially IAS 19. Moving on to the next page and looking at the various countries and the various formats, in terms of external sales, the retail division achieved plus 3%, driven by almost all countries, with the exception of a small decline in Austria. Net revenues increased by almost 3%, 2.7%, and that is especially driven by a very solid development at K-Kiosk and Sego. A decrease in press and books by 2.4%, and that is mostly driven by Germany, where we suffered from the press reduction. Strong results, plus 5.8% with our convenience stores. And Spettacolo, with a almost 10% reduction, which can be almost fully attributed to closures of some non-profitable shops. I move over to the Spreitzelkönig, where our extended outlet network compared to the first half of 2013 and our strong wholesale performance really are the basis for the outstanding results we're having here. Net revenue rise for the first time above 100 million Swiss franc in a half year. We have very strong revenue and profitability growth at both country units. Gross profit with that stands at almost 80 million. Gross profit margin at 75.5%. Operating costs show an increase in cost of 6.5 million, which is fully attributable to production driven by the higher output that we generated. EBITDA stands at 21.6 million and EBIT at 15 million. That is 14.3 percentage point margin. That's an increase by almost 50%, 46.5% increase compared to last year. Overall, we can reaffirm that our expansion plan and growth plan are realistic, and today or at the end of the first half year, we had 237 stores that are openings. We had six openings in the first half year of 2014. I'm now already coming to my last slide, but unfortunately not the most enjoyable slide. The trade division shows revenues of almost 300 million. That is a decline of 25%. A big part of that can be attributed to Switzerland, where we have the biggest impact coming from the change in business model from a full-fledged distribution model to a commission-based. Germany and Austria account for a decline of 38%. Here we are really in turnaround mood in both countries. Cosmetics in the Nordics show a reduction of 6.1%, which is fully attributable to FX. In local currency, we actually show a growth of almost 2%, 1.9%. Trade classics in the Nordics show a decline of 12%, also with highly diverging developments on the various countries. The gross profit shows a reduction of 13 million compared to the first half of last year. I should mention here as well that the change in to the commission model in Switzerland has no impact on the gross profit, but allowed to substantially reduce our net working capital. Operating costs show a deterioration of 5%, which is over 100% attributable to the impairment of 17 million. The real, if I may say so, operating costs show an improvement of 4 million attributable to our restructuring efforts. With this, EBITDA stands at minus 4.5 million and EBIT at minus 24 million, again driven by many one-off effects, but still leading, even if adjusted, to a negative result. And with this, I'll hand over to Michael for the strategic part.
Thank you very much, Tobias. In the strategic section, I would like to talk you quickly through our recent initiatives in the core business and then highlight a little bit more our turnaround activities and efforts in the trade division. On page number 17, we continue our strategic focus on the core business, on the small outlet, retail operations in heavily frequented location. We introduced new product range in our stores. We continued the successful rollout of our debit card business. We issued, or we offer now our customers also a Visa, okay, Visa card. We added and will add additional service offerings. This will remain an area of further growth and focus in these locations. On top of that, we continued the rollout of our refurbishment program in Switzerland, but also Germany, where we redistribute shelf space from mainly print to the food and beverage category, where we offer an extended product range of fresh food and hot beverages, our coffee offerings that we introduced, highly successful in these new stores. On top of that, we also have been very successful in the first half year of this year to leverage the excellent international outlet network that we have in terms of the footfall, the frequency, customer frequency, and the customer contacts that we generate. We use these frequency and contacts increasingly to leverage our promotion activities. We are currently quite successful with our partnership with the tobacco industry in terms of promotion activities and promotion income stream that we generate through that channel. And most recently, we launched for the 80th birthday of our kiosk banner a promotion with a value of 80 million for the 80th birthday, our monster deals that we introduced at our Thai kiosks beginning of this week. This also is, in our view, a strong proof of the fact that we can leverage also in the future even further the strong customer frequency that we have, the fact that we've been able, together with our partners from the industry, from the brands, to offer our clients a value of 80 million as part of that promotional activity, and ultimately should lead to a higher, even higher frequency at our stores. In terms of the our Ditch Pretzel König activity in the Leibret market space, I think the financial results demonstrate that quite nicely. We continued the growth of both the retail but also the wholesaling activities, and in both areas we continue to build on our market leadership and operate quite successfully in that market and gain share in the first half of that year, both through new store openings, increasing revenues in the stores, but also, as mentioned, in the wholesale space, where we generate a quite significant additional business in new markets with new clients. Overall, we are still continue to optimize our processes. We have to adjust the group now also to the effects of the divestiture of the Valora service division. We will continue to simplify the internal processes to further standardize both reporting, but mostly IT systems in the group, and hope to, by doing that, contribute positively to a reduction of the cost base across the group. On the next page, I just would like to highlight two recent activities. I mentioned already the enhancement of our product line built around our OK brand, our private label brand. As I mentioned, we're quite successful with the rollout of our service products, but also in terms of the other OK products, mostly well known for the energy drinks. We are actually performing and enhancing the offering there quite successfully. in terms of the fresh food and food in general category. We, as you know, are in the middle of a significant investment program where we refurbish our stores and where we yield already the results of our effort from last year and the stores we refurbished earlier this year already now in terms of a higher contribution, quite a strong growth, double-digit growth in the food category in these stores, which then contributes positively to the overall margin that we can generate with these categories. In terms of the outlet network, I mentioned already our monster deals on page number 18 on the right-hand side. You see a couple of these monsters that we introduce now at our stores that help us to communicate to our customers the promotion activity to celebrate our 80th birthday. And ultimately, from an economic business point of view, it's, as I mentioned, strong proof that we have there a so far rather untapped market potential to leverage our frequency further by working with our industrial partners, the brand partners at the kiosk. This in terms of the highlights of the core business. I would rather focus now on the more challenging side of our business. I think Tobias made very clear that also for us the situation in trade is highly unsatisfactory. The results are also for us disappointing. We're in the middle of a turnaround process. In terms of the actual challenge that we face, this is summarized on page number 19. I think it illustrates quite nicely. It's both a market-driven but also partially internally driven process. Market-driven in a sense that the market consolidation and margin pressure in the retail space continues. Therefore, we end up in a situation where even a smaller margin is left for the distribution players as such. The capital costs are developing in an unfavorable way. Both brand owners and retailers continue to try to push inventory towards us. We focused very much on improving the contract terms. One specific effect of that is the change in some of the collaborations we have with our brand partners in Switzerland, for example, where we change the economics of the terms towards a more favorable situation for us in terms of the inventory management and overall the capital costs in relation to the contracts that we hold with these partners. In terms of parallel imports, e-commerce, private label brands, this just adds to the overall market consolidation and the market pressure. Also, these trends are not in our favor. Specifically, e-commerce, I think, is not only a threat but also an opportunity for us. Also, in private label, we started to investigate, to work in that space with some of the brand owners to offer also through our channel private label to retail partners. In terms of internal challenges, I think already in the past we discussed our turnaround approach in terms of a combination of portfolio optimization and cost measures. In terms of the portfolio optimization, it's mostly a reduction of the complexity, ultimately termination of unprofitable accounts that we acquired in the past, unprofitable on a fully loaded basis, meaning including the capital costs that we have to allocate to these contracts. And in terms of cost measures, partly SG&A costs or G&A costs in terms of administration costs, but more and more also adjustment of the cost base related to termination of the business and adjustment of the portfolio mix, which ultimately leads also in some of the units to quite substantial FTE reductions over the last couple of months. In terms of processes, we continue to simplify also the process within the trade division. We strengthen the sharing of the best practices that are distributed across the division, and ultimately we try to improve the efficiency in our route to market, mainly in logistics, but also in the IT integration with our brand partners. On page number 20, we illustrated specifically with the example of our Danish Trade Denmark unit, the turnaround effort. What we document here is that we started early H1 2013 to streamline the brand owner portfolio. In that case, we almost cut the portfolio by half, from 112 to 60 brand owners. We implemented significant cost savings, mostly by merging departments that were serving multiple categories, or that are serving now multiple categories. We introduced a category leadership approach in terms of the route to market, which means that we further consolidate, for example, our sales forces, and we acquired also a new brand owner with Bacardi Martini and Fernet Branca, where we entered now quite significant, quite successfully in the beverage market in Denmark. And with the combination of portfolio optimizations, reduction, termination efforts, the cost savings, and the successful acquisition of new brand owners, we actually managed to create a positive momentum in Denmark. Denmark being one of our largest and most relevant classic trade units, and ultimately we work in a similar manner with all the different trade units, and hope to create a similar positive momentum also with these. On page 21, we illustrate you in terms of the portfolio across the trade division, in which phase the different countries are. I think what is important to mention is that with our cosmetics trade activity on the far right, Scandinavian cosmetics and the EMH, we are still operating in a very successful manner. We enjoy quite higher margins than in the classic business. We see still new opportunities for growth. I mentioned e-commerce earlier. In the cosmetic space, definitely e-commerce is a very relevant trend that is not only a threat but also an opportunity for us. So in that segment of our trade business, we are actually quite satisfied with the results. Same applies for Finland, a rather smaller country for us, but also there, operations quite healthy, margin healthy, and a positive momentum in the development. We managed to stabilize the situation as illustrated in Denmark. Also, Switzerland is in the category of stabilization, not so much because the Swiss unit was under much pressure from a margin point of view, but rather from a capital cost or capital allocation point of view. There we managed to introduce new contracts with major brand owners and released quite significant networking capital that was allocated to that country. Having said that, at the same time, Switzerland is for us still a market where we see little growth. So it's less a growth market, but for us rather a market where we enjoy a quite stable margin now with a pretty much optimized capital allocation. And then on the far left, you see the four countries in our Trade Classic division where we are actually in the middle of a turnaround, Germany, Austria, Sweden, and Norway. All these four countries undergo now similar measures as illustrated at, with the example of Trade Denmark. Important to mention that we had quite an extensive renewal process ongoing in terms of local management. We started already to implement new cost structures regarding the organization, and it will be important specifically in Sweden not only to reduce the cost base, terminate contracts, but also acquire new principles in these areas to ultimately achieve critical mass again with these businesses in order to successfully complete the turnaround. In terms of outlook on page 23, I think Tobias summarized it quite nicely in terms of our retail division. We will continue to invest in our kiosk network in Switzerland. We still aim to complete roughly 300 refurbishments by the end of 2015. We are very much on track, even a little ahead on, of schedule by doing that. As I mentioned, these investments yield positive results. We managed to grow the food category quite substantially already in H1 this year in the stores that we refurbished. And we will also, in combination with this modernization, also increase the focus overall on our service offering, service being also a category that performed quite strongly, and we aim to even add additional services over the coming months and are optimistic that also in that segment we will contribute positively to the margin development in our retail format in Switzerland. In Germany, as I mentioned, we have a stabilized, from a margin point of view, situation, although we are slightly behind our schedules in terms of generating the growth. We are still in the process of optimizing our outlet network that we acquired from Convenience Concept or through the acquisition of Convenience Concept. We're in the middle of the refurbishment program. Also there, we opened our first stores with a completely new offering, for example, in our partnership with Deutsche Bahn, the SSDB stores, and we're still in the middle of adapting new operational processes, including the IT systems, in order to be more efficient and effective in the management of our retail outlets and the franchise network overall. So ultimately, as I said, we have a stable situation, growth, we are behind schedule, but we're still optimistic that we will be able to optimize the German retail activities to a level where we can also achieve a positive momentum on the growth margin. In terms of Deutsche Brezelkönig, I think the financial results of the first half year demonstrate quite strongly that we operate very successfully in that space, that we continue our outlet expansion as communicated earlier. We will also enhance our product range with the new innovative products that we offer both in retail but also in the wholesale. And we will expand and are already in the process of expanding our wholesale business specifically even further internationally. We acquired very successfully international clients in the first half year that contributed already very strongly to the overall results. And last but not least, a very important initiative for Deutsche Brettl-König is the extension of the geographic network. We're currently in an assessment phase where we look at opportunities to basically internationally expand our format, our retail format, on the basis of the success that we enjoy internationally in the wholesale business. Valora Trade, I think I made very clear that also for us the situation is unsatisfactory. We focus very much on the transformation and turnaround process. It's a process that is led country by country. Therefore, we will also evaluate all options country by country for each individual unit and apply the appropriate measure over the upcoming months. In terms of guidance, the full-year guidance that we communicated already earlier for 2014 is an EBIT of roughly 330 million, including streamlining costs in H2 of 10 to 15 million. We will enjoy a positive net profit effect from the divestiture of Valora Services, and therefore expect a stable net profit in the full year. We also support our current dividend policy and with a minimum of 12.50 dividend per share and a payout ratio of up to 80%, and adjusted our guidance for 2060 to an EBIT of 80 million on the basis of the continued operations. On that note, I would like hand over back to the operator and open up the Q&A session now.
The first question is from Dagmar Morawitz from AWP. Please go ahead, madam.
Yes, good afternoon. I've got two questions. So the first is you give us a guidance for this year and 2016. So could you give us an idea on the development you expect 2015? So will it be more like a transition year, or what do you expect? And the second question is on the trade division. You said there are all options open. So is it possible that you sell the whole division or only partly sale, partly restructuring? And so what do you prefer for trade? So complete restructuring or sale? That's it.
Good. Thank you for that question or these questions, Dagmar. I will answer the first one and Michael will answer the second question. On trade, concerning guidance 15, we are not giving a guidance yet on this year. However, if you take the normalized results of this year where you have many elements and you take the midterm guidance of 16, you should already see some of these effects materializing next year. Michael?
Maybe on the second question regarding trade. I mean, first of all, you have to separate the strategic and the operational effort. In terms of operational effort, we clearly focus now on the turnarounds. As I mentioned, it's a separate effort in each of the countries. There is a very limited operational overlap between these countries, so we have to go through the process as documented for Denmark country by country. And we will do so and even intensify that process over the upcoming months. On the basis of these turnaround plan, I think it's clear that we will also have to answer a couple of strategic questions in terms of how to position these units in the market and to what extent we see other options for each individual of these country units. And I think this should answer your question that we first of all work on both dimensions, and secondly, it's very much on the short term a operational effort. However, I think we said very clearly on the strategic end that trade is a non-core activity for Valora going forward, and therefore we have to assess very carefully unit by unit how we proceed as Valora in that business.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Christian Weitz from Baader Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. Question from my side, or rather three, if I may. First of all, could you provide us with like-for-like growth for your retail division and maybe an update on the evolution in Germany, how the restructuring is progressing there? Then second question also on trade. I mean, given the evolution at this entity is not really euphoric, how much goodwill do you have left for that entity? If I'm right or remember right, it's about 50 million. And do we have to fear that we're going to see another impairment for that division? And third question would be on net working capital. If I got it right, you currently have a net working capital of about 107 million. Where did most of the reduction come from? Was that net working capital that was related to your trade division? And how is it going forward, i.e., do you have a certain target for your net working capital?
Maybe I take the first two questions, and then you, Tobias, can answer the questions regarding trade. In terms of like-for-like retail, I think on page number 11, I think we precisely try to shed some more light on the like-for-like development, and I think we've been here extremely transparent in terms of the effect comparing 2013 and 2014. And as Tobias mentioned, in terms of like-for-like, what you have to bear in mind is even though we have a strong positive development in the food categories and service categories on the back of our refurbishment effort and introduction of new service offerings, we have at the same time we still face a quite significant deterioration in the print media market that not only affected in the past heavily Valora services, but we also said very clearly it affected also our kiosk business specifically with a very substantial amount.
Sorry to interrupt you, but I'm not referring to the EBIT. You've been very precise and shed a lot of light on the EBIT evolution. But I'd be interested in the top line evolution, like for like.
Maybe Christian, I'll try to answer that, and I give you a couple of hints. First of all, a very good proxy overall is the external sales that we published on page 13. We didn't have any acquisitions or divestments. So the only proxy would be stores opening closings. But, you know, in terms of external sales, that already gives a very good approximation. Maybe even giving you a bit more information, in Switzerland, we are at a same-store figure which is above the 2.7% that we have on page 13 as development of external sales in Switzerland.
As we compared to the first half of last year, we have been closing down, as we've mentioned in earlier statements, closing down some unprofitable shops. So the overall same store is positive. Finally, and that depends a bit how you define same store, but we have been investing in our stores, so depending if you count that into it or not, the answer is a bit different. But overall, our project of refurbishment, if you account that into the same store, has yielded, as we said in the full year, very positive results, which are, I would say, even significantly above these 2.7% in Switzerland. As for Germany, overall, I would say the figure that you see here, the 3.7%, is a good proxy. We have changed mostly between various models, but not yet notably in terms of source, so that will be have a relevant impact. We have started, as we said, with also a modernization campaign, but which is by far not yet, as we said, as far progressed as in Switzerland. Does that answer your question in a satisfactory way?
Yeah, more or less. Thank you.
Maybe on the second question, just building on what Tobias said regarding Germany, you refer to it as a restructuring effort. I think for us it's rather a repositioning effort because, as Tobias said, in the first half year, we've seen quite a stable margin situation in Germany. Therefore, Germany is still contributing overall quite strongly to the overall retail result and is still a very important part of our retail operation. But we are very optimistic that in Germany there is quite some growth ahead of us if we manage to reposition our stores, mainly the ones that we acquired through convenience concepts, in a way that is similar to what we do in Switzerland, and definitely this opportunity or this potential has not been realized yet. And on top of that, what we discussed also in earlier conference calls is that we have still quite a significant effort ahead of us in terms of aligning processes, systems to the Valora way of doing business or the Swiss Valora way of doing business. There, the focus is very much on reporting and IT systems that help us then to be more systematic and more precise in the way we develop our stores and allocate the investments in Germany to the specific outlets. But we are on track in terms of our plan in Germany ultimately to realize growth. However, as I mentioned earlier, we are behind the initial schedule. 12 months ago, we've been a little bit more optimistic in how much we can achieve in 2014 in Germany. We are definitely heading in the right direction there. In terms of the questions you had regarding trade, I would like to hand over to Tobias to talk you through goodwill positions and net working capital development.
Thank you, Michael. Goodwill, very first question. Indeed, we have 51.2 million left in trade goodwill. That is split almost fully allocated to cosmetics with 9 million remaining on Denmark. 14 million remaining on Denmark, excuse me. We have, of course, as you can imagine, tested that goodwill in order not to have piecemeal politics. So if we would have come to the conclusion at half year that goodwill is not substantiated, we would have impaired it. We have not found this, therefore I personally believe that that goodwill is still realistic. And Again, the three are cosmetics, which show a positive development in local currency, and Denmark, where we're highly confident about the turnaround despite some remaining risks, but also upsides. Concerning net working capital, indeed, most of the improvement comes from trade by far, but there's also been efforts led by the other divisions. But the main part of it clearly comes from trade.
Does this answer your three questions, Christian?
Yes. Thank you.
The next question is from Anna Patrice from Berenberg Bank. Please go ahead, madam.
Yes, hello. This is Anna Patrice from Berenberg. Couple questions from my side. First, if we again go back to the trade division, what was the new piece of information over the last, let's say, what, 4 months that triggered the profit warning? What went wrong? What didn't you foresee? Regarding the retail division, gross margin has declined. What I don't understand is you are talking about decline in the press revenues, but historically you were saying that press has lower margin and that other product categories should come with a higher gross margin. So if you have declining press revenues, increasing share of other products, you should automatically have increasing gross margin, which is not the case. Maybe you can explain this. And then also, quick question on the guidance for the free cash flow generation. Again, back in spring with the full year results, you were saying that free cash flow should come at least 60 million per year over the next 3 years. Where do we stand now? And given that you support your dividend policy, okay, this year it seems that the dividend will be covered by the disposal of the services division. What about the next year? How sure you are, or how do you want to cover the dividend? Well, that's the start with. Thank you.
Thank you, Anna, for these three questions. I start with answering the question regarding retail, your margin question, which is also for us obviously very relevant. As I said, on page 11, we've been, we think, quite transparent in terms of illustrating the effect. You see, in terms of EBIT, the quite significant like-for-like growth if you take out the effects from the print margin. So you see a positive 7.6 million development on the EBIT line, combined retail Switzerland and Germany. Bearing in mind what I said regarding Germany earlier on Christian questions, I think it becomes very clear that you see a very positive contribution from the effort of investing in the stores, the refurbishment of the stores, and adjusting the category mix, specifically bearing in mind that, as we said, Germany is a rather a stable situation. Also there we have to offset negative effects from print media, and therefore you can assume Switzerland contributes quite strongly, which makes perfect sense in the logic that we are also there quite ahead in these refurbishments. So,
well, sorry, I'm talking about the gross margin. So the gross margin doesn't depend.
Yes, I come to that. So this is in terms of the EBIT line. I think for us at least, this should illustrate that we are confident that there is on the ultimate EBIT line a positive development ahead of us. Now, specifically to the gross margin of print, I think what you have to bear in mind is what Tobias said. It's a combination of effects that we see in the first half year result. On one hand, it's a turnover reduction, so a revenue decrease in print that affected the business. With that, it comes a gross margin decrease. But on top of that, we had an adjustment of the margin based on a new margin model that has been in relation introduced in line with the WECO guidance. And this adjustment ultimately added to the effect that not only the revenues are lower, but also the margin is even lower, and therefore the impact has been even far bigger than what you would anticipate on a historical margin and turnover development point of view. And therefore, obviously, it's more difficult to compensate that with the growth from other categories, and therefore you see the impact overall on the gross margin line.
And if I may add, that is a one-time effect in 2014. So if you model the future, you of course will have a volume effect, but for now we don't anticipate such effect from the margin.
So maybe does this answer your question, Anna? No, not really.
So if we go to the gross profit margin, we have in the first half of the year, we have 35.9% gross margin in retail. That's down 60 basis points year over year. So that means if you split this into the positive product mix and whether, you know, like product categories with a higher gross margin and a decline in the price product margin, because of the new arrangement, how much would that be? I mean, I'm talking about the gross margin in relative terms, not about the absolute terms, but in relative terms.
I'm not sure I got the question, but listen, if you simply add mentally the margin effect that Michael and I mentioned to the gross profit, you actually get to a stable gross profit margin as last year. So there wouldn't be any reduction in gross profit margin.
Maybe.
Okay, maybe we can continue it offline. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, maybe you can take the question on guidance and free cash flow.
Yeah. And, trade, the second, what piece of new information did we have? Piece of new information was 3-4 months of current trading, actually, where we started weak in the year, that has shown as not being a phasing effect, but a real decline, which led us to reduce our guidance for this year. On the free cash flow guidance, the effect is, I mean, if we're taking down the EBIT guidance for 2016, that also has an impact on the free cash flow, as you could expect. We have not guided now for a specific free cash flow number, but indirectly said that the dividend is assured, that will continue with the dividend policy. It is clearly assured for this year. With the sale of the service division, with what we've guided at 2016, also the dividend should not be an issue, and therefore we're very confident with this dividend policy. I hope that answers for now your questions, Anna.
Sorry, how can you be sure that you can continue with the dividend policy if it's not covered by your free cash flow?
As said, this year we have the proceeds, and 2016 with the 80 million EBIT we guided, no matter how you calculate, you cover that easily. So I'm not understanding the question.
Anna?
Yes. But what about the next year?
Yeah, I think what Tobias said, I think the if you compare our previous guidance on free cash flow and the adjustment to the EBIT guidance that we communicated now in 2016, ultimately you don't end up in a territory that is below our dividend. So we're still confident that overall in the long-term cycle, this three-year cycle that we communicated all earlier, that we will cover the dividend by the free cash flow.
Okay. And in the trade division, you said that, okay, the current trading wasn't as good as you expected. What were the reasons for the trading which wasn't as good as you expected?
I think, first of all, you have to understand that trade is a very much back-end-loaded business, back-end-loaded in the year. So you have far more transparency and visibility on the business towards the half-year, August type of cycle of the business planning that in March, April. This is due to the nature of the contract, and ultimately our team in the beginning of the year in Q1 has been more optimistic that they can retain specific contracts that partially have been also profitable contracts that have been partially terminated now this summer as part of the portfolio optimization. This is kind of a negative side effect. On one hand, we cut big loss-making contracts, but with that, some of the smaller profitable principals or brand owners also terminate from their side the contract or allocate less business to us, and this has impacted our business negatively comparing the visibility now we have now to what we saw in March. And secondly, I think what you can see, and as you, I think, got now as a very clear signal from Tobias and myself, we're very committed to now turn around and ultimately optimize the situation in trade in very much in a shorter period than probably previously anticipated. And therefore, you have some negative one-time effect that also has been factored in for the second half of the year.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Caroline Price from Fargo Management. Please go ahead, madam.
Thank you. I have a few questions. The first one would be in your guidance for streamlining costs in the second half, could you give a rough indication of what proportion each division will bear? And my other question, it's you give an indication for cash inflow on the divestment of services of $63 million. Is that the impact on net cash or gross cash? And then on slide 11, you're given the effect of the lower press volumes at 4.4 million and lower press margins of 3.4. I'm trying to get a sense of how much of that was sort of organic and how much of it related to implementing this retail margin model. And especially, do you think that we could expect a similar impact in H2, and then, you know, that's the sort of the one-off notion. Maybe you could just describe as clearly as you can what this retail margin model implied for you in terms of the impact on sales and operating costs. And then on the World Cup impact, or let's say the Panini, do you think that most of that would have been felt in the first half, or is there also a trailing positive impact into the second half? Thank you.
Thank you, Caroline. I maybe start at the back with Panini and the margin. I think Panini, we've been always quite transparent in terms of also, previous World Cups and European Championships, so you understand World Cup is over, so it's very difficult to sell these Panini stickers when the World Cup is over, so you will see less of an impact definitely in the second half of the year. And in terms of the margin, this is not so much, I mean, this, as Tobias said, is an impact that we had by implementing in the service division as part of the divestiture the intercompany margin, or the changing from an intercompany margin to an external margin. This has been imposed by the WIKO, the Swiss Antitrust Authority. This is a one-time impact purely on the margin, in a sense that you have a different margin that is allocated to the product, so it has nothing to do with the operating costs or logistic costs, even more so because we divested that part of the business, so we're not exposed to these costs anymore. We just have a straight margin on the products that are delivered now by our previous division, Valora Services, that we divested to our stores. This should answer, in my view, your second or your third and the fourth question. Maybe on the first two, I would like to ask Tobias to answer.
Answer the second one, yes, the 63 Annette. And to be honest, the first one, I did acoustically not hear what you meant. Said the second half.
Okay, sorry, I'll rephrase it then. It's you've given guidance on slide 23 on your streamlining costs in the second half, and I'm wondering if you can allocate those roughly by division.
We haven't done so in the past, and we will not do so now.
Well, could you say then maybe that the lion's share would be for trade or not necessarily?
The lion's share is for our core business, which is retail and digital and press.
Okay. And then...
I think I misunderstood. The lion's share of the EBIT contribution, not of the restructuring cost. Sorry, I misunderstood that.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to clarify on your answer, Michel, for the impact of this retail margin model. So is that to say that you don't expect any further impact in the second half?
We will have an impact on the lower margin. I mean, as I said, it's a one-time margin adjustment. This is the incoming margin in our store, right? And so,
right.
And this margin, in terms of percentage, is even less relevant than in terms of total contribution of the print media business, and therefore you obviously see a very much diminishing impact in terms of absolute adjustment because of the decrease in the sales.
Right. So, but we'll still see that impact in the second half, and then next year we won't notice it so much at all anymore. Is that correct?
You will see some impact in H2, and then it will diminish.
Right. Okay. Thanks so much.
The next question is from René Weber from Bank Vontobel. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I would like to start with a question on the positive division at each Pretzelkönig. You mentioned that the wholesale growth was quite important. Could tell us how much it was? And could you also tell us the plus 13%, how much is the same store sale and how much is coming from wholesale and from new stores? The second one, sorry, again on trade. At the end of 2013, net assets was 170 million. Now you have done the impairment. You have reduced the net working capital. Could you give us an idea what kind of net assets we have in there right now, including the goodwill? And the second on trade, you changed now the business model in Switzerland on a commission-based. Is it possible that you could do that for the other ones as well and therefore reducing net working capital? And Germany and Austria are going down by 39%. Was it also due to the commission-based or was it really organically?
So maybe I start on the trade again, and then leaving it to Tobias to finish up with the positive comments on our Deutsche Pretzelkönig division. I mean, first of all, your question regarding commission-based models. Yes, the change was implemented in Switzerland, As part of our portfolio optimization effort, we also look at opportunities with other brand owners to change to a commission-based model. I think there are substantial benefits that come with that commission-based model. I think you referred very correctly to the network and capital impact you have by doing that. But also there are some negative elements of changing to a commission-based model, mainly regarding flexibility, potential benefits that come by growing a business and so on. So it does not apply to all situations to be the best business model. Otherwise, I think we would have introduced this already more aggressively also with other brand owners. In terms of networking capital, the assets, if I understood your question correctly, the assets that are allocated to the trade division, these are mainly goodwill and networking capital, remaining networking capital. Tobias said also, I think clearly you have seen a very positive impact overall on the networking capital, an improvement of more than 50 million, 5-0 compared to half year last year, which is a result of our networking capital optimization effort, not only in trade, but very much so in trade. And we continue to work on that dimension. And this will also be the most significant moving part, obviously, if we continue with the restructuring in the trade division, that we will focus on very much to reduce the capital that we allocate to that division also over the next coming cycle.
Okay.
Does this answer your questions regarding trade?
Yes, that's okay.
Good.
Good. Rene, I would like to start with correcting you. You said you have a question on the good division. I would rather one of the good divisions. Retail clearly as good. Nevertheless, I'll answer the question on the Ditch Brezel Koenig side. The question mainly relates to the wholesale side and the growth there. Most of our wholesale business comes out of Germany, where on page 14 we show almost 14% growth. The growth of the wholesale is clearly above that. We have a positive development as well on the network side in Germany, but clearly the effect of the wholesale is clearly higher than the 14% we show on the total of Germany. In terms of same store, that has not been a large contributor to the growth you're seeing here. The growth that you have here is outside of the wholesale is driven by more and better POS. Same store is already at a very high level. We achieved last year a significant increase in same store growth, and we are at the level where personally I think it is also very challenging to increase in the same store the growth, because you only have a limited number of places you have in. The average ticket also is limited of how much you can increase. So the big driver that you've seen at least in this half year clearly comes from network expansion and from and the wholesale.
Okay, thanks very much. Perhaps just a final question regarding your guidance, the 80 million. Do you include there a positive contribution in terms of EBIT from the trade division?
Yes, we do, yeah.
Okay, you do not give a guidance for each division yet?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Not now, and we've never also in the past, but no, it is, listen, It is also clear that, as Michael clearly said, that result is not satisfactory. Until 2016, you've got a series of options, but continuing with losses is definitely not one of these.
Okay, thank you.
We have a follow-up question from Christian Weitz from Baader Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hello. It's me again. I think I missed your guidance on networking capital, or did I miss it, or did you say anything regarding networking capital target first? And second, you mentioned that you've been refinancing your SIN loan. Maybe you can elaborate a little bit with that regard and let us know whether or not issuing a bond replacing that SIN loan would be an option. And, could you maybe also elaborate a little bit with regards to your cash flow situation, which is good, as I see, yes, but would it be an option to also reduce your CapEx?
Okay. Thank you for these follow-up questions. Maybe first of all, networking capital, no, we're not giving a specific target, so you haven't missed anything, I can reassure you.
Thank you.
Concerning the SIN loan, thanks for mentioning that. I gratefully take this platform. I think we have achieved a very good result. Overall, no, we're not considering replacing it with a bond. We clearly thought about that. But the big advantage of the SIN loan is that you only pay when it's drawn. We, for now, have not drawn anything. And, or let me rephrase, what you pay when it's not drawn is substantially lower than if it's drawn. And even if it's drawn, the conditions are very good. So clearly, compared with a bond where you pay anyway, that doesn't make sense. So we have here an instrument which is very flexible and is at our disposal at the moment we need it, and comes for now at a very low level in terms of cost, as it's not drawn. In terms of cash flow situation, I mean, Michael, when he came on board as CFO, and I on my side also come from the same school of thought. We are very much cash flow driven, not only in what we tell you guys, but also internally. So we are applying much more rigor in terms of CapEx. CapEx are necessary. We're in the retail business, so that is vital for the development now of our network. But the entire process of approvals, of hurdle rates, etc., is under scrutiny and review. So I would not like to preempt the budgeting process and the update of the multi-year plan, but clearly the return we expect from our CapEx should be better and improved compared to maybe the past.
Okay, and maybe a very last question, if I may. Looking at your downgraded guidance for 2016 to 80 million, would you say this is rather conservative in the sense of cautious, does this even include a small discount in order to be on the safe side? Can you kind of give us a feel for these 80 million, how achievable they are? Is it a really tough piece of work, or is this something you just consider as a reasonable target that you can easily achieve?
Thank you for that question, Christian. I think, first of all, we try to be consistent in a sense that also in our previous guidance, we said very clearly we do not build in any potential additional IDs we have and acquisitions or other elements, but it's a pure operational guidance. So what we guide is on the basis of the planning of our current operating business, and as Tobias also elaborated on the investments very clearly, I think we have in our business quite some visibility ahead of us, and so far also quite some confirmation in terms of what is achievable with these investments in terms of operational uplift. At the same time, I think it's also clear that comparing the results we got this year to the 2016 EBIT of 80 million, I think it's a quite substantial increase, and therefore I would may I say in my role as CEO, it's quite well balanced what we got here in terms of leaving enough challenges to our team and ultimately also enough comfort on group management that what we guide is actually realistic and supported by detailed measures. And that's probably as far as I would go in terms of commenting on the quality of our guidance. But I think what is important to understand, and I think that's what you see also now in a very transparent way, I think we have opportunities to influence positively our businesses, our core businesses, specifically in retail with the refurbishments. A lot of what you have seen in terms of improvement is based on these refurbishments. It adds other operational measures to it. If you assume we are in retail Germany rather behind our schedule, still fight there with also the negative impact from the print media market. Also there we made some progress, and therefore we are optimistic that we can continue to improve the overall EBIT margin in both in Switzerland and in Germany in retail by applying the right investments at the right location, and also with a very rigorously managed process in terms of how these investments are applied. And also there, I think Tobias referred very importantly and correctly to our focus to the cash flow generation, that also there, I think it's not, I mean, we will raise the bar a little bit, and we will create also there more flexibility in terms of or less flexibility in terms of the benchmarks, and be more rigid in terms of how these investments, or even more rigid in terms of how these investments are applied. And at the same time, what's also an important part of our guidance is obviously the expansion of our Digi-Brezel-König business, where we are definitely on track, both in terms of operating margin, but also in terms of growth, both driven by retail and wholesale. And there, as you can assume, we also included in the also quite some growth in line with what we guided earlier, but not additional potential measures that we could see that could be applied to that business in order to even further expand these business activities. And in terms of trade, what is part of the guidance, I think it's very clear that also there we are in a very challenging situation, and therefore I think you can also assume that ultimately, as Tobias said, we would not accept to build in a negative impact from that business in on a 2016 basis, but ultimately there is quite some work ahead of us. And therefore, I will clearly say it's well balanced what we present with the overall guidance, but definitely enough challenge left to get there.
Okay, thank you, Michael. Quite comprehensive. Thank you, Tobias.
Welcome.
Thank you, Christian.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions at this time.
So, thank you very much from our side. And hope to talk to you soon, and have a good afternoon. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your line. Goodbye.